Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence, your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversation, Dr. Georgette Mead.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thanks very much for making time in your busy, busy schedule to educate us on hypertension and the heart. Dr. Mead, how long have you been in the medical profession?
I've been in the medical profession for 14 years now, having completed medical school and my internship. I then went on to specialize in internal medicine, and subsequent to that, I had an innate love for cardiology, and so I returned to Toronto, Canada, where I completed my cardiology fellowship. And so I've been back home a bit over four years, practicing both internal medicine and cardiology at the Hope and Grace Cardiac Center.
Okay, thank you very much. Today, I would like you to zoom in on a clinical term that many, for one reason or the other, will be diagnosed with, and that's hypertension. What is hypertension, Dr. Mead?
So hypertension, we may commonly call it high blood pressure. It is where there's an elevation in the blood pressure within the arteries of our body. And so it really should be less than 120 over 80. So the top number, which we call the systolic reading, should be less than 120, and the lower number, which we refer to as the diastolic, should be less than 80.
Are there different stages of hypertension?
Yes, there are different stages. So stage one, hypertension, is a systolic reading between 130 to 139. Or a diastolic reading between 80 to 89. Stage 2, hypertension, the systolic reading is greater than 140 and the diastolic reading greater than 90. And we get very concerned. You should actually see the physician or go to the emergency room. We call this a hypertensive crisis, where the systolic reading is greater than 180 and the diastolic reading is higher than 120. So this one needs emergent treatment, and you should not stay at home. It should be treated urgently, so you should get to the emergency room.
Okay. What are the symptoms of high blood pressure?
Honestly, hypertension is called the silent killer, because even when it's very high, it does not cause symptoms. And so it goes undiagnosed in many persons, because the only way you know what your blood pressure is if you get it checked. You have to get the blood pressure reading checked, and the best means of doing that is with the blood pressure machine that checks the blood pressure at the forearm and arm area, so just above the elbow. The wrist machines have been found to not be as accurate as the arm cuff. It's called a silent killer because it usually does not cause symptoms. Many patients are diagnosed with hypertension when they now present to the emergency room with shortness of breath, fluid on the lungs, because the heart has now given up, basically. So it's been managing, trying to cope with this very elevated blood pressure, and then it cannot anymore, and you present emergently to the emergency room. I always take the opportunity to encourage everyone to get their blood pressure checked, just so you know what it is, because you may be in a life-threatening situation when you actually find out about it. A stroke may happen. You may go to the lab and then find out your kidney results are abnormal. And this would be because the pressures would have been elevated for an extended period of time, unknown to you, because hypertension usually does not cause symptoms.
So how often or when should I see the doctor? How often would you encourage a patient to actually go and do blood pressure screening? Is it as important as a general healthcare checkup, or you should do it as often? How often?
Right. I would decide to do this based on an age recommendation. We have been finding hypertension in younger persons now, meaning even teenagers. So I'd recommend that everyone should have a blood pressure machine at home. It's a good investment. And just routinely check the pressure initially. If you're going to have your annual checkup, so you're at 30 years of age, you could do it as an annual checkup. You previously would say 40 and higher, but based on what I'm seeing at my office and hearing from my colleagues, we need to start at an earlier age. So from 30 years, I would say annually, we should be getting our blood pressure checked. If it's normal when you check it, you can continue doing the annual checks. But if it's in the elevated range, which is between 120 to 129, or in the systolic reading, you would want to then keep a closer eye. Every 3 months, you could check it. The most, I would say, 6 months.
What are the risk factors of high blood pressure or hypertension?
It is predominantly preventable. So there are those factors that we, risk factors that we can control. And then there's others where it's in family. It can be within the family history. As you get older, you're at a higher risk of hypertension. But by and large, hypertension is preventable. And we want to watch what we're eating. So that's one main reason, a high salt diet. Now, salt is hidden in a lot of foods that we may not be aware of. For example, bread. It's also in cheese. Any packaged food, so in the tins and also in bags. So if you're having snacks, like, for example, peanuts, you want to have more of the unsalted peanuts. Mm. And we're also not monitoring how much salt when we're seasoning our meat. Sure. So locally, we want the food well seasoned. And a lot of times it means more salt. So you want to use more fresh seasoning to season your meat to limit the salt amount that's been used. Now, stress. Stress is also a very important risk factor for hypertension. And we want to be mindful of how we're managing our stress levels. How are we coping with whatever might be the trigger for this increased stress? Because stress leads to an increase in the heart rate. It leads to an increase in the blood pressure. So I'll put these top two as the causes for hypertension and the prevalence of hypertension within Antigua and Barbuda.
And does hypertension affect the heart?
Yes, there is a direct correlation with hypertension and the heart. How does it do this? So, and there is an entity called hypertensive heart disease. I mentioned earlier the blood pressure is measured within the arteries. So directly leaving the heart is the aorta. So when the pressure is high within the aorta, if you think about it, the simplest way I describe it to my patients is to say, imagine you're lifting weights at the gym. Your biceps get larger. And so that added pressure that the heart has to push against the force of the elevated pressure in the artery is a similar concept. And so the heart in itself is made up of muscles. And so the muscle becomes thickened, it becomes enlarged. And that's one type of enlarged heart you may hear a person referring to. So it enlarges the heart muscle. It won't relax as well as it should be doing. And so it's unable to receive adequate amounts of oxygen-rich blood and send it to the rest of the body. So thickening the wall is one factor that we know happens. It can subsequently lead to heart failure. And as I mentioned, the heart is now unable to manage these elevated pressures. And so it basically gives up. And you now have symptoms of shortness of breath. You cannot lay down flat. Your feet become swollen. Your heart starts racing. So congestive heart failure is also a result of uncontrolled hypertension. And it does also increase the risk of getting a heart attack. So there is significant impact on the heart from elevated pressures that are not addressed and not treated and not diagnosed. And so I encourage you again, monitor your blood pressure so you can be aware of where it is and see a physician who could then advise you if treatment is required. And when I say treatment, there is medications, yes, but significantly is having a low salt diet and also exercising.
I was just about to ask you to prevent or reduce the risk of hypertension. Maybe you were not diagnosed with hypertension. So in order for us to prevent or reduce the risk of hypertension, what are some healthy lifestyle habits one should maintain or incorporate in their well-being?
Right. So we are focusing definitely on prevention of hypertension.
Right.
And the foods, you'd want to have a low-salt diet. The earlier you start, you don't have to wait until you're hypertensive to begin on a low-salt diet.
Right.
And I mentioned some foods that, some ways that we consume salt without realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so low-salt diet, you're exercising, aerobic-type exercise, so that means walking, a brisk walk, cycling, swimming, jogging, playing tennis. These increase the heart rate to a safe level, and it also helps to control the blood pressure. We also recommend that you control your stress levels. Praying helps any situation. There's yoga. Just getting out into the fresh air helps. Talking to a trustworthy person. And sometimes you just have to change the environment that's stressful for you. That may not be as easy as done as it said, but you want to do everything that you can to protect your health and protect your both your physical health and your mental health. And so that's usually required in some situations.
If diagnosed with a heart disease, how can one help to manage their symptoms and reduce the chances of problems such as a stroke or a heart attack?
I would want to give an overview of what heart disease is.
Okay.
And the structure of the heart is very complex, as you would imagine. And so I usually try to simplify it as much as possible and sort of relate it to a house. And if you think of the structure of the heart, there's the muscles of the heart, which can also become disease, and persons can develop what we call a cardiomyopathy, where there's an enlargement in the heart muscle because it's now weakened. And when in hypertension, when there's hypertensive heart disease, the muscles become thickened. They are the valves. So valves are like swinging doors. They open and close, they open and close, allowing blood from the upper chamber to the lower chamber. And it leaves from the lower chamber and goes through the blood vessels where it goes to the rest of the body. So these are the valves. Now, if the valves are not opening well, we call that a stenosis. For example, mitral stenosis, aortic stenosis. These words might be familiar to some person. And it may not close well. And so when the valve should be in the closed position, it's not closing like head to head. And so it's allowing some of the blood to seep into the upper chamber. And it could be mild, it could be moderate, and it could be severe. So you would imagine the blood coming in and the blood going back. They're meeting each other and enlarging the chamber that's close by. And so if it's in the severe range, you could develop more symptoms from that. Then there's the plumbing. So the blood vessels of the heart that supply oxygen to the heart itself can have cholesterol buildup inside of it and other substances that should not be there. So similarly to your pipes being clogged with sediments and other deposits, the arteries of the heart, this can also have a similar process going on. And so there's a reduction in the blood flow to the heart muscle. And this is where you are at risk of a heart attack. We call it plaque. The process is called atherosclerosis. And basically it's fat deposits within the artery, which now limit or reduce the blood flow to the heart muscles. So if it's not completely blocked, you could have what we call angina. And so you're walking and you feel chest pain, any sort of exertion. It causes you to rest and it goes away. We call that stable angina. But sometimes it doesn't respond to to resting, he doesn't respond to the tablet under the tongue called the nitroglycerin tablet or the spray. And so you really should be seeking medical attention. And higher end of the spectrum is where a heart attack occurs, and so there's damage to the muscles of the heart. So that's the plumbing having the disease. Then there's the electrical system of the heart. And here's where we have the arrhythmias happening. Irregular heartbeats, so the heartbeat may be faster than what's considered normal, which 60 to 100 is the normal range, or it may be slow. And if it's extremely slow, some persons require a pacemaker. So this is the electrical system of the heart. So those are the major areas of the heart. And then there's a sac around the heart that we call the pericardium, which can be inflamed at times. So as you would imagine, the heart is very complex, but we have only one. Mm-hmm. And so we should do our endeavor best to protect it from all diseases. And many heart diseases, or the majority of heart diseases, are preventable. Heart attacks are the number one cause of death globally. And so we have to do everything we can to protect our hearts. And then there's the types of heart disease that we don't have much control over it. There are developmental changes during birth. And so we call that category congenital heart disease. And you may have heard family members or friends who have septal defects. And we call these hole in the heart locally. That might be the more familiar term. And it could be even more complex than that. I've met three persons in Antigua and Barbuda whose heart is on the right side rather than the left side. And this would have happened during development within the womb. So there's several heart diseases, and so you need treatment, you need to get your follow-up visits, you need to be monitored closely when you have any medical condition or cardiac condition.
Can heart disease be cured?
That's a very good question. I would say no, they're not cured. We can control them. We can slow down the progression of them. Surgeries can be done to try and repair, for example, close. If there's a septal defect called locally hole in the heart, you could get surgical procedures to close that hole. But we would need monitoring because the patch that's placed can move. Most of them remain in place, but you're always still at risk of a deterioration. If there's valve disease, you want to surgery sometimes required in some situations. And so all in all, it's not cured, but it can improve. You can have a stable condition, and you can live a normal life in most situations.
Okay. Dr. Mead, you are co-founder and president of Heart and Stroke Foundation. Could you tell us a little about the foundation?
That would be my pleasure. So as you mentioned, I am co-founder and president of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. We launched on February 3rd, 2020. And our main objectives are to highlight heart disease and stroke. What are the risk factors for heart disease and stroke? How can we prevent heart disease and stroke? And persons who already have established heart disease and has unfortunately experienced a stroke, how can we prevent it from happening again? Because once you have a heart attack or stroke, the risk of getting another one is extremely high. And so you want to be educated on how to prevent that from happening. So education has been one of our main drives, because when I returned home, I realized I didn't think the education level of the citizens was high enough. I thought they weren't aware if they have hypertension and diabetes, high cholesterol, what their risks are of getting heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, and peripheral arterial disease, which are all, their risk factors are the same for all of them. Mm. And so that was one of the main reasons why we launched the foundation. But we also want to support persons who have had heart disease and stroke, whether financially, and support in terms of always having resource available and educating on the conditions. Because if you, knowledge is power, you would then know, okay, I shouldn't have this amount of fried food. I shouldn't eat this amount of dairy products because it can increase my risk of heart disease and stroke. I should monitor my blood pressure periodically just so I know what it is. And if it's elevated, I should then get treatment. We're going to be starting a research project because that's also very lacking. And we want to have all local data so that we could share it with our citizens and even the ministry officials who could then make more educated and knowledgeable decisions in terms of policies, health policies that can be put in place. And we've launched our mascot, Otter. I'm not sure if you've heard about him, but you can log on to our website, www.heartandstrokeag.org, and learn more about what we're doing. But Otter was a new strategy that we came up with. We launched him on our anniversary this year. And the schools, we've been visiting the schools because the children are where we want to focus on. Because if we're going to prevent these medical conditions, we want to have the students educated about healthy eating. So Arthur has been doing that, getting outside and riding their bikes and playing football rather than playing video games. And we've been encouraging them to drink more water rather than sweetened drinks and sodas. And we've gotten very good response. We've been to Tian Kernan School already and St. John's Catholic Primary School. And next week, we'll be going to the Seventh-day Adventist School, and we also have a Grace Christian Academy School that we'll be visiting in May. And the feedback so far has been very tremendous and very well received. And we've also been screening the teachers. So we've taken the opportunity to screen the teachers. We've been checking their blood cholesterol and their blood sugars and their BMI. That's the body mass index, where we check the weight and the height and we get the BMI. Because alarmingly, in Antigua and Barbuda, this is from the Pan American Health Organization, almost 50% of our population is overweight at this time. And 24% has hypertension, and 13% of our citizens have diabetes. And so we need to really take this very seriously. It saddens me to see a young person, middle age or old, all my patients, I care about them a lot, unwell. And if they could have done other things to prevent these conditions, then they wouldn't have had a stroke, or maybe the heart condition wouldn't be as severe as it is. Some of them are, they couldn't have prevented, but what we can prevent, I think we really should try.
Right.
Because being in the hospital and you can't go to your children's special events and your daughter's wedding, you can't provide for your family as you want to. We want to, you know, highlight it so then we could think about it a bit more and make better choices.
You ever thought about going to preschools?
Decided to target the primary schools for now.
Okay.
And, you know, we're going to go as far as we can. And to as many persons as we can. In May, we'll be going outside the Epicurean supermarket. May is a special month for us also. It's stroke month. And we'll be doing blood pressure screening because stroke is the number one risk factor, or one of the main risk factors for stroke. So we'll be doing blood pressure screenings. And that will be on May 19th from 12 to 4 p.m. We'll be doing that. We'll also be talking a bit more on stroke and how to identify a stroke, spot a stroke, and save a life. We'll be highlighting the BFAST acronym. So that tells us or teaches how to identify a stroke. So if you could pass by and get your blood pressure checked. Most medical offices would provide complimentary blood pressure checks. So, or you could do a medical checkup at once, but really you want to find ways to get your blood pressure checked. The health centers all should provide a blood pressure check also.
How could they get in touch with Heart and Stroke Foundation?
Right, so the number for the Heart and Stroke Foundation is 732-3861.
Okay, Dr. Mead, could you give the listener some information on the services you offer at your office, the Hope and Grace Cardiac Center?
Yes, the Hope and Grace Cardiac Center is located at the Wood Center. And the services we provide, all of the cardiac testing, we do the ECG or EKG. They're the same. Echocardiograms, so that's an ultrasound of the heart. So with this one, we're able to see the size of the heart, the valves, how they're functioning, the chambers, ensuring they're the appropriate sizes, and the strength of contraction of the heart. So that's the echocardiogram. And we also do the echocardiogram for children, so both adults and children. And the Holt monitor, this is another cardiac test. If you're having palpitations, dizziness, a fainting episode, irregular beats or skip beats, it's a monitor that's placed for 28 or 48 hours, and you will be recording all of the beats that you have in that time frame so that I'll be able to diagnose why you're experiencing these symptoms. So that's called the Holter monitor. And we do stress tests. So I do two types of stress tests, the treadmill stress test and the stress echocardiogram. And this one, we do it if you're experiencing chest pain. If you want to know if it's safe to exercise, I would also offer this test to you. And sometimes we do it if your heart rate is extremely slow and we want to see if exercise, it elevates with exercise. Well, by and large, it's done if you're experiencing chest pain. So those are the main tests. Some outside of the cardiac testing, because I did internal medicine, I manage patients with diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, abdominal pain, reflux, asthma. So I'm able to provide many services because of the internal medicine and the cardiology services. And pacemaker checks, we're also able to monitor patients who have a pacemaker in.
If our listener would like to have an appointment or set up an appointment for a doctor's visit, what number could they call for that?
Right, 732-3861 or 462-4973.
Okay, any last words, Dr. Mead, before you go, concerning hypertension and the heart?
Hypertension is known as the silent killer. It does not usually cause symptoms unless it's really at a significant level. I encourage you strongly to get your blood pressure checked routinely, because that's the only way you know what your blood pressure reading is. You have only one heart, so you have to protect it. We've had a very good conversation, and I hope your listeners have learned a lot and will be able to share it with their family and friends.
Thank you very much, Dr. Georgette Mead, for sharing your knowledge with us on hypertension and the heart, and also your foundation. Thank you for doing the great job of helping people get well and stay well. I wish you every success in your profession and also with the foundation. Thank you very much, Dr. Mead.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or Lighthouse, BIMI, at gmail.com, or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454, or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.